This week on Straight Talk Africa, the youth in Kenya has taken to the streets to demand change.
Now it's a tug of war, and the people have never lost.
They want good governance, accountability, living wages, and an end to corruption. And they're not alone. The protests in Kenya have inspired Nigerian youth that is flooding the streets of major cities in the country against the high cost of living. Protests are also appearing in Uganda and Ghana. Are we witnessing an infectious uprising of young Africans demanding systemic change? Straight Talk Africa starts right now. Hello and welcome to Straight Talk Africa, coming to you from VOA headquarters in Washington, D.C. I'm your host, Vincent McCorry. Now, the protests in Kenya began with young people rejecting a proposed bill that would impose more taxes as millions in the country can barely make ends meet amid rising cost of living. This time, the protests are not mobilized by the opposition, but by young people, Generation Z. The nationwide protests are largely organized on social media with no notable leaders. They have snowballed into a movement calling for good governance with broad backing across Kenya. So who are these Gen Z protesters? Juma Majanga reports from Nairobi, Kenya.
These have been the scenes in the streets of Nairobi and across Kenya for the past 2 months. Young people leading demonstrations to call for good governance. Government data show about 3/4 of Kenya's population is under 35 years old. Experts say for years, Kenya's economic and political structures have not been responsive to young people.
And what they said is they realize there is no one to speak for them.
Most of the protesters are part of Generation Z, born in 1997 and later. The protests were sparked by a contentious tax bill that President William Ruto later withdrew. But protesters say the president has to step down as well. 26-year-old Kasmuel Mak-Oure has been in the forefront of the protests. He says the Ruto must go call is not an attack on Ruto personally, but a call for good governance.
It is the Ruto-isms, the isms that have been associated with him, the corruption that bedevils his government, the cronyism, the sheer incompetence of the people who surround him in government, the sheer number of unconstitutional offices that we've had to endure in his tenure, the extrajudicial killings, the excesses of the police. In a country where we're living, where we have a police force and not a police service, Ruto Must Go is a clarion call to a better Kenya.
Ruto dissolved his cabinet on July 11 and reconstituted it to include members of the main opposition party. Speaking last week in Mombasa County, he pledged to tackle the main accusation against his government.
I will mobilize resources that are available. I will mobilize every resource that is available to deal with the challenge of corruption.
But critics say the new cabinet, which has half of the fired ministers back in office, does not inspire hope. Recent polls show over 80% of Kenyans support the youth-led protests. Wanjiru says this is because the protesters spoke to the feelings of many Kenyans.
Kenya is in a bad situation. Our political leaders do not reflect our aspirations. And the young people have come and spoken to our aspirations. So really what we are seeing by these shop owners and business owners and parents who are supporting their young people is these young people have captured our aspiration.
Analysts say to bring about real change, the youth-led movement has to organize politically and collaborate with other progressive political groups. Protester Leon Mushiri agrees.
It's high time the young people come together and say that we have identified certain individuals from all over the 47 counties, and we have come together and we're saying that this is an opportunity for us also to go on the ballot, come to 2027.
President Ruto says the government will not allow further protests in the country, saying, quote, enough is enough. But activists note the right to peaceful protest is guaranteed in the constitution, and protesters like Mark Ore are defiant. They are planning a major demonstration in Nairobi on August 8th. Juma Majanga, VOA News, Nairobi.
Well, the protests in Kenya started peacefully on July the 18th, but took a violent turn a few days later as demonstrators attacked legislators' offices in parliament. The police used tear gas, batons and live fire. Over 50 people have been killed since mid-June, according to the National Commission on Human Rights of Kenya. In Nigeria, Amnesty International says at least 13 people have been killed in clashes with police since the unrest began in the West African nation last Thursday. For insight into this phenomenon on the JNZ protests, I'm joined by human rights lawyer Ola Wafunke Adeoye in London and by lawyer and youth advocate Leon Muchiri, who joins us from Nairobi. Welcome, both of you. Now, I want to begin in Nairobi, as a matter of fact. Leon, and we saw you again in the story we just aired. To the best of your understanding, what distinguishes you, Generation Z, from the rest of us?
Thank you, Vincent, for that interesting question. So, we got to see Gen Z's young, vigorous and innovative generation that is not afraid to really speak out of the issues that are really eating into them. It's a generation that is bold, that is fearless. And I think one of our legislators said that this is a generation that through the years in their high school life, they have been going through certain setbooks that talks about bad governance. And you see a generation that is saying, we are ready to do what is right. We are ready to call for a change. We are ready for a new start. And that is what that has been able to distinguish the Gen Z from other generations.
Yes. Now, Funke, protests have always happened in Kenya, in Nigeria, in other places. But this time around, there was a lot of buzz around the protest in Kenya, sitting in Nigeria. And you just went to London, but you've been in Nigeria. What was it that Nigerians were looking at and saying, well, maybe it's time for us also to rise up?
Thank you very much for that question. To a very large extent, I would say that the protests that occurred in Kenya had very similar linkage with Nigeria in terms of the reasons for the protests. Kenya was basically protesting against the hike, the finance bill, which was affecting the lives of Kenyans generally. And we were also facing similar situation in Nigeria. So when the Kenya protest started, it started online. A lot of conversations started online. And I know quite well that back in Nigeria, we started following the protests. We started following everything that was happening. And we thought that it would be necessary for us not to keep quiet. In the past, in 2020, Nigeria had a similar protest that made a lot of difference in the way certain things were done with respect to the issue on ground then. So when the Kenya protest started, and considering the fact that we had both similarities with the issues in both countries, it's sort of like strengthening the resolve for citizens to use their voices. The resolve started online, and eventually it went to the streets. It spread from the Gen Zs or the young people having conversations on Twitter, on X rather, and then it went to the streets, including all that categories of people, of Nigerians.
Yes, and you know, the issues kind of are very similar across countries in Africa. Leon, there was something that was rather interesting. I mean, Kenyans have always protested. I was in Kenya not too long ago, and many people were expressing the same concerns, you know, the high cost of living, corruption, and, you know, concern with bad governance. But how did this become an exclusively Generation Z protests? I mean, at what point did this become like something a bit more exclusive than the typical protests that we always see in Kenya and witness on the streets of Nairobi and other cities?
So to answer you, I think this is the first demonstrations that have not had any political backing in any way. This is the first kind of demonstration that you have not seen any opposition behind it. This was a demonstration where young people on various social media spaces called out to each other and said, look, we have a problem here and we need this problem to be solved. Can we raise up our voices and see what that can be done? And you see, this is where we need to understand that Kenya also has a youth bulge. A majority of the Kenyan population is young people. And the Kenyan population being the youth, the majority being the youth, say that in the next few years, it is us who will suffer if these consequences are not mitigated at this point. So it was a rallying call because it was genuine need. There was a certain form of urgency that came as about because for so long they have been seeing things are not working okay. And why would you want to pass a controversial bill only to impose on us tax finances, certain burdens that we cannot live? Most of these young people, as rightly put, are people who are starting their careers. They don't have job. They don't have good health care. They do not have access to quality health. And they're saying that this is a time for us to really speak out. So no opposition whatsoever, no political outfit whatsoever was able to sponsor this Gen Z-led demonstration. And that is what that distinguishes from last year's demonstrations, the mandamanos that were witnessed last year post the 2022 general election. That is the biggest difference. Youth-led demonstrations.
Yes. And Funke, indeed, when you look at the contrast between what we are witnessing in Nigeria and what is going on in Kenya, is that Nigeria seemed to have, while it might have been originally organized by the youth, but it's kind of encompassed the people. And we saw trade unions also kind of coming in and other people. And on the streets, we witnessed young people, people look like me, people looked even older than me. So what is it that made this a bit of, you know, different than what we are seeing in Kenya, such that everybody came to the streets?
Yes, I would say two things. First of all is the fact that the protest in Nigeria is based on certain issues that covers and concerns everybody. So when we talk about ending bad governance and we talk about reducing the cost of living, the cost of governance, and also the cost of living, which was going high, it affected everybody. Now, in 2020, like I mentioned, we had a protest that was solely led by Gen Zs and the young people, and the protest was largely successful. For almost 2 weeks, we had youths going to the streets, basically asking the government to end police brutality. And even though we did not have lots of older people joined the protest, I think it sort of like left a mark in their hearts. And so when the call for de-end bad governance commenced, it spread across Nigeria such that we saw different categories of people, the old, persons living with disabilities, children, everybody took to the streets. And in the past, we used to have demonstrations and protests that were based on certain locations or certain tribes. For instance, during the NSAS protest, we did not necessarily have people from the northern part of Nigeria join. But for this particular protest, we had people from the northern part of Nigeria troop out for this protest. I think basically over time, people have come to see that there is power in citizens using their voices, there is power in demonstrating, and that as long as they keep quiet, the government is not going to listen or try to address the plight of the people. So I think it's an awareness of the power of the people that led to the difference.
Well, it's time for a short break. When we return, we'll continue our discussion on the Gen Z protests. Stay with us.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
Health, wellness, sport, beauty, medical breakthroughs. Healthy Living cares about your well-being. What are the main health concerns in Africa and around the world? Find out the latest on coronavirus. Connect with our experts and ask them questions.
How long does the virus stay?
Join me, Lino Khmudu, in Washington, every week on Healthy Living, right here on VOA.
You're watching VOA's Red Carpet. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. Thank you so much for joining us each week right here on Red Carpet. We bring you the latest in...
I own a restaurant. I have to shut down for like a year and 2 months now because I don't gain, I don't achieve anything.
There's no food. Tell Buhari and Tinubu or whoever is there, they should listen to the people. That is why they are in the seats. They should listen to us. We are not asking for more.
The cost of governance in Nigeria is so high. Our leaders are just, you know, embezzling money, buying unnecessary things.
We have a lineup of demands for the government, and until government answers us, we are not going to leave the street. It's very unfortunate. It's unbelievable. I've never seen, you know, in the whole world where government will order their security operatives to shoot at protesters.
Welcome back. We just heard protesters in Abuja, Nigeria, telling us what prompted them to take to the streets. We're discussing the phenomena of young people demonstrating in Kenya, Nigeria, and other African countries to express their dissatisfaction with the political establishment. Will these protests bring about change? Are we experiencing a unique movement in history, a rather unique moment in history, where across the continent, young Africans are collectively, vigorously, but peacefully voicing their opinions? My guests are in London, human rights lawyer Oluwafunke Adeoye, and in Nairobi, lawyer and youth advocate Leon Muchiri. Now, Leon, one of the things that was very characteristic of Kenyan youth, and we've also seen protesters in Nigeria just a few seconds ago, but one thing that was very characteristic is that you told those, you know, the age of your parents and even others, not even too old, to stay home. Like, this is not their fight. Do you, in your generation, feel that the generations past have failed you somewhat? Or what message were you trying to convey?
Thank you. I think the greatest challenge with the previous generation that you've seen, and most of the young people have seen, that it has not really been sorted out, is the issue of tribalism. Because this is the first also demonstration where we've seen young people coming together, regardless of their tribes, regardless of their political affiliation, coming together and saying that we have one common problem, which is the issue of governance. So how do we resolve these kind of problems? So in the past, you've seen, going to election here in people of younger generation say, vote for this person because he's a person from your background. In Kenya, they say, mtuwetu, our person, vote for our person because they'll safeguard your interest, which you've seen over the years is not the case. We see that there have been two dominant tribes who have been presidents of this nation of Kenya. So we see people coming together and saying, let's vote for this person to take care of our interest. And that is something that the young people say, we do not want to associate ourselves based on our political or tribal affiliation. We want to have a demonstration that comes together based on ideas, based on ideology, problems that are facing the common monarchy, the common citizen. So this is why people came and said, we do not want older people in this. And for so they have been there, they have been able to condone such kind of environment. They have been the enablers of such environment. And it was high chance that the young people said, it's time that we as young people from all over the 47 counties come together and say that we do not want this because of certain issues. So that is the reason why we were quite conservative at the start of these youth-led demonstrations. Mm-hmm.
A generation that does not see ethnicity but sees citizens as sharing a common interest and common problems. Now, Funke, you know, in Nigeria, the issues that have been raised are very similar to Kenyan issues. For example, corruption. That is a problem, not only in Nigeria, also in Kenya and other places, but also the question of politicians living large, flamboyantly, showing off their wealth. And for generations, nobody questioned where they got the money from. Can the youth, or can the current protests we are seeing across Africa really change the culture where politics or political positions or government is the easiest way to become a billionaire overnight without anybody questioning?
Thank you so much. I think that the current, one of the things that the protests across Africa or the demonstration has shown is that more young people are becoming politically aware. We are coming from a point where, or we're coming from a time where young people were not particularly interested in what was happening in politics. And in the past couple of years, and then as we can see from this year, the protests from this year, young people are becoming more aware, more interested in what is happening politically. And it is creating a form of tension in the parts of the government. I want to believe that the way in which most of our governments have been responding to threats of protest or the actual protests shows that they are actually apprehensive. I will give the example of Nigeria, for instance. The protest this year started August 1st. 2 weeks before the protest, the government did everything within its power to ensure that the protest did not hold, from propaganda, going to court to get rulings, ex parte motions that would restrict protesters to a particular place, to even introducing counter-protesters days before the protest to stop the protest. I believe, and many people back home believe, that the government is apprehensive because they understand the power of the people. And for us in Nigeria, by the fifth day of the protest, we already had the government coming, the president coming to address protesters. Even though we believe that, you know, the words from the president were not sufficient to address some of the issues, for us, it is a step in the right direction, that the government is coming to understand that people would not continue to stay docile and do nothing, but will continue to speak up, will begin to speak up and say no to bad governance. So I think to a very large extent, even though we haven't necessarily begun to see the fruits in terms of the government in power actually reducing their cost of living or the cost of governance generally, to a very large extent, it's beginning to create a form of political awareness among the citizenry, and especially among the young people, and it's creating a kind of fear and apprehension in the government. And we do not expect in the coming days to see as much as the show or the display of wealth or sensation.
Yes. Leon, you know, like in Kenya, what happened is that you actually did push the president into dropping the finance bill, into firing the cabinet, and although he brought the same fellow, some of the people back into the new cabinet, and they have actually all been, cleared to serve. Now, some people would say, you know, young men and young women, this is a game that has been played by this gentlemen and ladies for a long time. Do you really understand it? And for example, now we see in Kenya, the government that we are going to witness come the next few days is a government of national unity, where the opposition has been brought in into government, meaning there's no significant opposition. How do you think that is going to play into your demands? And to what extent will you manage to force the government to fulfill its obligation to the citizens of Kenya?
Thank you. As rightly put, we've seen an instance in Kenya where it's only the opposition that comes and eats with the government, which was the case even prior 2022 election in 2017, where the opposition was in government. So from this, we get to see that There is no form of political goodwill whatsoever that emanates from the Kenyan president. What we are seeing is the old guard coming together, converging together with one interest to safeguard whatever they did, to do, continue doing whatever they were doing in the past. And that in itself will ensure that this country does not go anywhere. Because coming together with a united front means that there is no one who will come and say that we want to sponsor these young people. So from this, we get to understand that it is incumbent upon the young people to strategize, to organize, and to mobilize. Because we need a proper way forward on how we can go about it. Because the president has not been intentively listening to the needs of the young people. What I have seen is just brushed off whatever the young people have said. And to a certain extent, it's painful seeing that whatever the young people fought for seems to go down the drain. But in essence, this is a spirit that is moving across all corners of Kenya. And it is only a matter of time in the next, say, two, three years, the next elections are in 2027. So it will give the young people more time to really put their house in order, more time to go and do civil education to the grassroots level, back in the rural places. It will also mean that the young people will come out with a very strong political outfit, because we have proven that we have the numbers, we have proven that we have the grit and resilience that is required to take the politics of this nation to the next level. So whatever has happened, it's, let's say it's a tactical delay, but it's only a matter of time. Mm-hmm. It's not a matter of when it if it will happen, it's a matter of when it will happen. And I can tell you for a fact, the young people of Kenya have seen their full potential, and it's only a matter of time that they realize that this time is for us. This time is when we're going to do things the right way. For so long, these have been people who have been in politics for close to 30, 40 years. Same people. We have seen past governors coming in back to the government. And these are people who have audit queried. So these are the things that the young people are saying that we need to really take charge of this conversation.
Well, let's get some thoughts from London too. Funke, you know, we've witnessed so many protests, as you mentioned. There was the SARS movement, protests in Nigeria, so many protests. Do you think the current protest will be different and perhaps will yield some results different from the past?
Wow, that's a very interesting question, because we've had a lot of protests in the past, like you rightly said. But with the current protests, we find that the government has been doing everything as much as possible to introduce misinformation and disinformation into the why behind the protests. Specifically for these protests, like I mentioned, the president already addressed the protesters. And as I speak to you right now, just being a bit of calm, the protest was supposed to go on for 10 days, but just being a bit of calm. And one of the reasons for the calm, or one of the reasons for the pause in the protest, is because the government has been using different means to stop people from demonstrating. From using live ammunition, there's been lots of killings. Amnesty International reported over 14 killings as at 5th of August. There's been lots of arrests. There's been, I mean, as at today, over 600 people have reported being arrested or being harassed in one way or the other. So it's just, there's just been a lot of fallout from the process that we are still trying to...
Well. Thank you very much. I'm afraid we have to leave it right here. Thank you both for the thought-provoking discussion. Oluwafunke Adeoye and Leon Muchiri, we appreciate your time. Thanks to our affiliate stations for broadcasting Straight Talk Africa across the continent. I'll see you next time.